Money with the pump fake and one dribble inside to the long two, and he makes it. That's been his game his whole career. But look at him smiling. We go, my bad. The long two. My bad.
Welcome to another episode of The Long Two. I am Pete Rogers. He is Natty Wallach. And we are a Carmelo Stanthony podcast, and occasionally talk fantasy basketball. Natty, how you doing today?
I'm copacetic, bro. How you doing?
Copacetic. I am good. I was going to say equally copacetic, but then I was like, do I know exactly what copacetic means good enough to describe whether or not that is actually how I'm feeling right now? So copacetic, let's see, definition. Google tells me. Fine. Okay. Satisfactory. I, too, am copacetic.
Well, that's good.
Have to make sure that I'm always giving everyone true, accurate information. I can't be lying on the show.
You know what? We should be excited because the World Series starts tonight.
Oh, should we be excited?
Hell yeah, man. Let's go baseball. Like, this is all a right. Good matchup. I like yes, both these teams.
I do like both these teams. I saw before we turn over the keys of the Houston Rockets to you, Natty. I do have to quickly say I saw someone. God damn it! I saw someone who was basically like it was an article that said, you know, the Dodgers are. It was a Boston article, and I was like, the Red Sox should mold their, you know, team after how the Dodgers achieved their success or something like that. Basically, like the Red Sox should use the Dodgers as a litmus test or as a marker to like guide how they should rebuild. And I was like, oh, you mean the team that traded Mookie Betts? So like, first get yourself Mookie Betts. Oh shit, we had that, but didn't pan out.
The thing is that the Red Sox signed Dave Dombrowski, and I, as a Tigers fan and Marlins fans, will know that Dombro gets hired to clean out the cabinets and get as many stars as he possibly can because he, just like Daryl Morey, thinks that that gives you the best chance to win a championship.
Matt, and, is that a transition that I hear right there?
Well, I think they're pretty similar front office guys, don't you?
Look at you. Look at you. I will not. I have already spent too much time on this show discussing the Boston Red Sox. They are dead to me until John Henry gets fired.
I mean, I think
which will never going to happen, but you know.
But I thought that they traded Mookie Betts because they were getting ready to sell the team, and then this shit hit, and it's like, oh, well, damn. Maybe we should have kept him because now we can't sell. Well, maybe. Although who knows?
Maybe you don't trade your best player in like
under any circumstance. Yeah, except years. We're about to have like a conversation about like, oh shit, how can we get rid of Harden?
Well, that's a good point. Let's get into that then. Natty, I have done the amazing thing as a host and decided to take all responsibility for creating content for this podcast and push it onto your shoulders. So this isn't we are the GM of the Houston Rockets, and we're talking about how we're going to fix the Rockets. This is you, Natty. You are in charge of the Houston Rockets. You get the keys to the franchise. What are you doing to fix this team for 2021? And I think the Rockets, we talked about this in our Slack channel. It seems like the Rockets, you said the Rockets and Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin, okay, maybe. But the Rockets are going to be the narrative of this offseason simply because they were a team that had such an identity constructed solely around this three-point identity, sacrificed it to the point of training Clint Capella rolling with PJ Tucker as their starting center for, you know, the playoffs and the bubble and just fully investing themselves into D'Antoni's idea and Daryl Morey, just this whole three-point roster construction, and now everyone who is there who led that charge is gone. And so what are you going to do with this team now that has James Harden, Russell Westbrook, a bunch of other guys who are all going like have monster salaries? You're getting, there's no really third fiddle. It's a lot of good role players with two stars, but those two stars, how well do they play together? How well do they play? I mean, most of this is directed to Westbrook, I guess. How well do they, like, can they be what they used to be. There's a lot of questions for the Houston Rockets. They are one of the most exciting teams going into this offseason. So I figured, we figured, what a way to start the offseason season on the podcast than breaking down what possibilities the Rockets could have in store for this offseason. So take it away, Natty. Give us your views of this team and where you would want to take it as the general manager for the Houston Rockets.
Thank you very much, Pete. I'd just like to point out to everybody that Pete isn't doing this because he likes his team already, whereas I, a Detroit Pistons fan, instantly started coming up with ways to get James Harden to the D as soon as Pete mentioned it. So that's why I'm driving, because he doesn't want Harden, and he doesn't want Westbrook. And arguably, he wouldn't want Big Rob Bob Covington because of what you'd have to give up to get him. And that seems a little bit duplicative for your roster.
Right. The Celtics don't need another Marcus Smart.
Or like a wing that cop. I don't know. Like, you already have Gordon Hayward. Whatever. We're not going to talk about Boston teams.
We're going to try to go the whole podcast without it. We'll see.
We already failed. We've talked multiple teams. How are the Patriots doing, by the way?
They're doing all right.
Okay, let me preface this by saying that next year, the Rockets will have two of the top five highest paid salaried players. Westbrook and Harden will both be making $41 million. That's tough.
That's a little tough. Not great.
And obviously, I think that the past couple of years have showed us that anyone could be moved at any time. And when you add in coronavirus and who the fuck knows what everybody's finances are, that can change things in a very unexpected way, too. Like, there's definitely, I think, at least a 10% chance that neither Westbrook nor Harden will be on the Rockets when the next season starts. It's difficult to make those trades. I think most of the internet thinks that the Rockets will just sort of run it back again and make changes around the edges, but you never know. Like, if it's time to close down shop, if your window's gone, then fuck it. Let's just try to get rid of some people, and we'll take back draft picks and bad contracts and whatever else you want.
That seems to me there's like the two pathways that you as the GM could go. Is the putting pieces around Harden Westbrook and try your darndest to like fix the Rockets to be at least like a playoff contender, or this is your team now, Natty, because you don't have any first round picks for like the first 5 years or have like very few, is this a situation where it's like, nah, scrap everyone, trading Harden, trading Westbrook, we're getting, you know, big ass veteran contracts and a bunch of picks, and we're going to take this as a massive overhaul and hope for some lottery luck in the future?
There's a new GM and a new pecking order in Houston. The owner is possibly maybe not flush with cash right now. This would be as good a time as any to blow it up under normal circumstances. It's like, we tried, we even did weird shit, and now, you know, it failed. All of our dudes are over 30. We're going to try to get what we can for them and just start over. And that's totally fair. I mean, I think that is what will happen if Harden and Westbrook see that the team isn't going to make a big change. And then they're like, well, just get me out of here. Get me to a contender of any kind. Like, I'll figure it out later, and just sort of leave Houston with the bag. There's reason to believe that the new front office will operate much like the old front office, because they all worked for Daryl Morey. And all the people there are the people that were affecting his strategy. So they might really like the team. I mean, before the shutdown, the Houston Rockets were playing extremely well. Westbrook was having one of his better seasons because he had changed the way he played. And they just really didn't replicate that in the playoffs. Who knows why? But let's just take this as the thought experiment it is and try to atomize it and be Jesuit about it.
Love it.
The new GM of the Houston Rockets. My two best players are Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
In that order, question mark? What kind of player?
No. Harden's, I mean, but it's two MVPs, right?
It's true. It's true. I mean, I don't know what you as a GM think. Five
salary players. Right. Well, neither do I, because I don't, I mean, this team will win 50 games, I think, if you don't do anything to it and make no changes.
Yep.
Assuming that we have like a regular schedule, which we probably won't, but whatever. We're doing this academically. So I have my two star players. If I lived in a perfect world with these two star players, what kind of players would I want to put around them that I thought would give me the best chance? And I don't know. Mm. Like, you could say, like, yeah, well, LeBron James, right? Or Steph Curry, you know, like, cool. Well, if you just say the players that are, you know, maybe better than them, then yeah, of course. But, like, realistically, who would you want out there, whether they're gettable or not? You know, whether you think it's pie in the sky, but not impossible to get, like, you can't trade for Kawhi, right? So I think that their small ball to the extreme worked only because PJ Tucker was a fucking warrior poet.
Right.
And Bob Covington is actually a really good defender. Like, I think that tandem, but you can't ask PJ Tucker to do that again.
I don't 36? Like, how old is he now?
Yeah. And he's going to want an extension. He's underpaid for what they had him doing.
Yeah.
So, like, I do think that you need a quote unquote big. I don't know what that really looks like, but both Harden and Westbrook play well with bigs. They're good at lobbing. Like, they're, it's not like the entire fucking offense is awful. It's just that the driving lanes aren't as open as they would be otherwise. But you can get your fucking big to get out of the way.
That's the thing. That was the thing that always confused me about the Clint Capella trade and being like, we need to open space for Westbrook. It's like, yes, I understand that. But just like you said, you could also like have the coach the center out of the paint and free up that space. And this is like, for me, there is a guy who I think makes some sense. And it's probably just because I witnessed him drain a whole bunch of threes in the Celtics' face when Celtics took on the Raptors. And I just also want to get the like old OKC band back together. But Serge Ibaka is an unrestricted free agent, 32 years old, can shoot the three, can protect the paint, can give you some interior presence. Totally. He feels like a guy who you could play that, again, still give a small-ish ball lineup with him at the five. But that seems like a guy who you could pair with them. It does feel to me like a little bit, I guess the thing is I understand, like, you made a huge move to get Westbrook, and I did read something where it was like, it didn't seem like that was exactly everyone's.
Oh, it was the owner and Harden. Yeah.
Yeah. Who were just like, sure, we're going to get Westbrook, and everyone else was like, really? Is that what we need right now? But I understand like wanting to put Westbrook in the best position possible, but I also feel like you shouldn't, if Westbrook is so ineffective by having like a traditional big or even a big who just needs to like operate somewhat in the paint, then that's not a great sign for Westbrook that he only can play, or he's really only effective when you're basically playing with five wings.
That's sort of why I feel like there are very few landing spots that you could do like a one-up trade for those salaries. And I do sort of wonder, go Pistons, whether Blake for Westbrook makes sense. Because for Detroit, it means I guess maybe Blake is as big a star as Westbrook, but it doesn't really feel that way. Like, I think when you get the Sarge, that is an upgrade in a void over Blake Griffin. And then Blake Griffin just sort of compliment, like point forward Blake Griffin compliments Harden better than Westbrook does, I think. But
I think that's a great one. I also think that that helps extend Blake health-wise, because I think Blake can't be, if Blake is the guy on a team, he's just going to, I mean, his body is going to give up on him way quicker than if he's like even second fiddle on a squad.
I mean, Blake was an all-star 2 years ago, and then he's had a gigantic layoff because of everything that's happened. So he might come back healthier than ever.
Like, let's hope. I would love him to be
Blake Griffin, and he would be, what, 32, I think, when the next season? Like, it's not that bad. And his salary is just his contract is just a few more years. It's less than Westbrook. So I do sort of feel like Blake, that's why I thought that Blake would be such an interesting trade figure on our Slack, because he could move some spots. Like, he could go somewhere, something crazy.
I mean, if he replicates that 2018-19 season, 24 and a half points, 7.5 rebounds, five and a half assists, you have like a stock a game. Like, God, you pair that with Harden, like that is, and you also add, which is something you said, like you add that pick and roll alley-oop crashing to the board game that completely got taken away from Harden when you traded Clint Capella.
But the thing is, you still have Eric Gordon there. Like, I think Bob Covington is a good complimentary player no matter who you are. Like, we love him. I am such a fucking big fan of his, but he's not a star. He's a role player. He's there to complement your other players, your star players. Their other guard is perhaps a little overpaid, although I don't really like saying it like that. But it's like, I do think that Houston could make better use of his contract, Eric Gordon. Like, I was even thinking about, like, if I'm Houston, would I rather have Eric Gordon or Eric Bledsoe? And I kind of feel like I'd rather have Bledsoe's defense. But, you know, what about someone like Caris LeVert? You know, try to go, like, skew a little bit young, and then Brooklyn gets to say that they have another star. Everyone's 30. Capella was their youngest player.
Right. They need to get young, because like I said, they don't really have many draft picks moving forward, because they had to sell a bunch to get Westbrook with the CP3 trade. So it's just like they need young pieces there to build around. I understand you have James Harden, Russell Westbrook, but like that window maybe is two more years at the best.
So I'm GM and I'm thinking to myself, man, I see all of these kinds of other players that I think would be better fits with Westbrook or with Harden, but maybe not together. And that really gives me pause. And then that makes me think, okay, well, maybe I should aggressively try to trade one or the other. We love Harden, but we'll obviously get more back for him. Westbrook is still a guy that I think gets you to the playoffs, even in the West. It's not a guarantee, but he plays as hard as anybody in the league. He does play well with other guys. Like, he's not this hated dude, you know? It's just that he's pretty intense. He could demand a trade, I think, if they traded Harden. In which case, you know, shit, man. Would Westbrook in Orlando with Jonathan Isaac look cool? Like, maybe you get Aaron Gordon back. I know Isaac's injured, but you know, who knows when the next season starts.
I mean Westbrook in those pinstripes would be cool. Like Westbrook in a classic throwback Orlando jersey, that would be saucy.
Yeah, and Orlando, like they do have what's his face, the young point guard from Philadelphia. My mind's blanking.
Markieff Fultz.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
But it's okay to have two guard backcourts. Like, you want to have more ball handlers, because it makes it easier to create offense. And I kind of feel like Fultz might play well off of Westbrook. And then when Westbrook's sitting, like, it's Fultz's team to run.
Right.
There's like Westbrook in San Antonio kind of makes sense to me. you know, they could cobble together shit. Maybe LaMarcus Aldridge for Westbrook. You just do an in-Texas trade. Just because I feel like there's – that's a – I don't know if Westbrook and DeRozan – I would watch the shit out of that team, by the way. But I like that old
– just drive or settle for the log two.
And I would be like, yo, neither of you are taking threes. You don't want to. I'm not going to fucking make you. Let's just play bigger than we are. Fuck all these people.
We don't need threes.
And then but I do think the danger in that is that you sort of fall in love with all the permutations for, oh, well, if I just blow up the team, then I'll get this, 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 and this. Right. What you're really going to get is mediocre draft picks and mediocre players. Unless it was something like Philadelphia decides to break it up as well, and they say, okay, Harden for Simmons or something like that, you know, like, or if Minnesota was like, yeah, DAR and whatever you want for Harden to pair with Kat, sure, we don't care. Like, if Houston's willing to sell lower on Harden, I think there are actually a lot of teams that would actually pounce on that. Like,
Harden,
if they
Harden
called, actually, I'm going to break your host rule. If Houston called Boston and said, we'll give you Harden, it costs Marcus Smart and Kemba Walker, you'd say, yeah, sure, no problem.
Oh, God, that'd be so hard, though. It'd be Harden.
But Boston would say yes to Mark. Of course. If you don't have to lose either of their wings. Like,
of course.
Because who cares?
But there's no way Houston does it. The Big Cat trade, that is saucy. I mean, the T-Wolves have the number one pick. It's a shit draft. Not a shit draft, but it's not a clear-cut draft.
It's not a heralded draft. Also, like, we just don't have as much tape on all right. these. Like, it's just a big, big, risky draft. So, like, Golden State wants it. Everyone's
trying
to trade. Much movement around the draft.
Oh, my God. Everyone's trying to trade their picks.
But people are going to fall in love with potential like they always do, which is why these big trades happen in the first place. Someone's like, oh, yeah, well, we know what the deficiencies for the player are right now, but once they get here, we'll change everything. Like, come on. There's only a few spots that either of those players, Harden or Westbrook, could realistically go to. And I'm not really sure if I'm the Houston GM whether I like what I would get back, unless the owner's saying, yeah, blow it up and get what you can. Mm-hmm. And if you're allowed to do that, the thing that Masai Ujiri has been waiting for his entire tenure with Toronto, but he's so good at his job.
He has been waiting. He has the blow it up button primed and ready. And every time he's about to go touch it, the Raptors rattle off, 15 straight wins. And he's like, fuck.
Dude, Fertitta should have been calling Toronto and saying, I'll trade you Maury for Masai, and I'll tell Masai, you get to fucking rip the whole goddamn motherfucker
hit
up.
Hit that button so damn hard.
Burn
it
to the ground. Yeah, let's start over so hard.
Oh my God, that would be incredible.
Here's the other thing, though, that makes trading difficult, is that a lot of the bad teams recently have had good draft picks recently. Mm-hmm. So it's we're not really sure. Ja Morant and Harden together would be pretty fucking cool, but they don't need to do that. They have another window. They're not trying to win right now. Westbrook and Charlotte or something like that. There are teams that it doesn't make sense for except to put butts in seats, which is sort of why I thought about the Westbrook for Blake trade to begin with. But
I don't hate that.
Yeah, but I think that you're only doing that because you think Westbrook's a bigger star.
Sure. Well, you're the Pistons too, and you're I understand that you traded for Blake to be the face of to be the star to carry that team, and then he had his phenomenal season, but then dealt with injury, then obviously weird bubble year. I could see them, being maybe Westbrook is the guy. I don't know, especially when you have Christian Wood. You want to get that guy on the court, don't you?
If we have Christian Wood. Yeah, that's the other thing. Who knows what the fuck is going to happen with the salary cap? The salary cap could be lower, in which case Houston might not be able to make trades. Like, they just won't be able to get the salaries to match. They might have to run it back. But I'm hoping that some sort of shock won't happen, and that if there's a big difference, if there's a big decline in the cap, then they should try to leaven it out over 5 years. But
yeah, I think the NBA is going to try to not have anything be too disruptive.
Saw what happened last time. They didn't do something about trying to ameliorate a spike up or down, and Golden State ended up being able to get Kevin Durant. I don't think that they want a situation like that again, where you just don't know what the unintended consequences might be. Like, who the fuck knows? Someone might just pay off a bunch of players on their team. It's like, all right, well, you know, I bought you out for like half, and I'm just going to try to spread it out. And then all of a sudden, like, James Harden can sign with the Lakers for $3. You know, something weird like that.
Love it. Okay, so your GM, what is the move? We've batted about a couple of ideas. Are you going to pull the trigger on either of the star trades? Are you going to rebuild? What's the pathway that you choose?
Well, I think what I'm going to do first is I'm going to call the New Orleans Pelicans.
Saucy. I like it. I like where we're starting.
And I'm going to ask them, like, what are you thinking? You have players that are extremely interesting to the rest of the league. But we're also curious, like, are you going to keep them all? Like, are you keeping Lonzo? Like, yep, are you keeping Ingram when you could sell high on him? Are you keeping Drew Holiday? So I think I'd ask them, what's up? Mm-hmm. Like, if you could get Ingram for Harden, I would do that as the new Houston Rockets GM.
Mm.
I think I would call Utah. Because, like, would you rather have Bojan Bogdanovic or James Harden? Because Bojan's coming back, signed that big deal.
I feel like there's only, like, three players in the NBA who I'd rather have over Harden, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, Harden, do the rest of your players have to respond to Harden's style of play, or can Harden change his style? Like, I sent you that link for some spec trades, and one of them was to Denver. And Denver would be giving up Michael Porter Jr. and Golden Gary and whatever else.
Sure.
What it really means is that you would have Harden, Joker, and Jamal Murray.
That'd be saucy.
I can see why that would help Jamal Murray and Joker, but only if Harden played the way that we're hoping his optimal generous self will be. Like, I don't know if he would be the number one option on that team.
This is the thing. But he might, just given the fact that, like, I don't know. I guess we are, as we love to do, projecting here. But I could see a world in which James Harden, having, you know, bottomed out a couple years in a row, bottomed out being the sense that they were unable to make it to the finals, not achieving the goals that they were looking to achieve, and looking for a fresh new start, and realizing that, like, okay, like, I want to ultimately win a championship. If that's his ultimate goal, if not, totally fine. You could just play the game to make money. Nothing wrong with that. But if your ultimate goal is to win a championship, get a ring, then I feel like this could be that time where it's like, all right, maybe I need to reflect and readjust and, like, find how I fit into a different offense in a way that I can then be, like, unlock my full self, or not even unlock, basically be the perfect, play this role to the best that it can possibly be, and then take this team to a next level. Before we go any further, we are going to take a quick ad break. All right, we're back.
There's also, I think, something to be said for Harden looking around the Western Conference and being like, this keeps getting harder every single fucking year.
True that.
And my team keeps getting worse, sort of. Like, if I force a trade and I get to the Knicks, A, we will make the playoffs. B, it'll be easier for me to ascend in MVP voting because Westbrook won't be there. It'll be me and whatever garbage the fucking Knicks were able to put around me. And C, I won't have to go through all these other motherfuckers in the Western Conference playoffs. Like,
and there D, will be you become the savior of the Knicks.
Exactly. Exactly.
Become idolized. I mean, if you took the Knicks, if Harden went to New York to the Knicks and took down and took the Knicks to the playoffs, even to the playoffs, it would just be people would he would be, you know. Well, that's the thing though, is the East, we don't know what the East is going to be next year.
Because it's not going to be as strong as the West. We know that.
That's for sure. But you are getting the KD Kyrie Nets. You're getting Boston. Yep. Raptors, I trust, regardless of if they lose Fred Van Fleet, they're going to be there. The Sixers could do a complete retooling, and who knows what that could look like. And then obviously you have the Heat, who are probably going to be the best team in the East, unless someone makes a massive change.
Giannis could win 67 games again.
There's also that guy called Giannis who's pretty good.
That's seven teams already that we sort of think are locks. Indiana. That's eight. Chicago, that's nine. But those teams don't scare. Chicago doesn't scare me. I think they're a playoff team in the East, but they're not a playoff team in the West.
I agree that if Harden were to go to Harden on any team in the any shit team in the East, immediately puts him over teams that you're kind of like, well, I could make a narrative for why they like the Pacers, like Chicago, where it's like, I could see them being a playoff team. But Harden on any team is like, well, that's better than whatever the Pacers or Bulls or I don't know.
Dude, but like Harden for Simmons would make sense for both teams and would maybe alleviate some clashing styles. And then all of a sudden Harden gets Toby, he gets Josh Richardson, he gets Embiid. There are reasons why Philadelphia would immediately be a more welcome playing environment for him. But Ben Simmons is so young. He's 10 years younger than Harden, and it's that's a little tough. What you're saying is that you think Harden will help you more in the East over the long run. And then is Harden and Embiid going to beat a Boston team that's 1 year better? Is Harden and Embiid Giannis? Who the fuck knows what Milwaukee's going to do? But
if what if you Milwaukee go to, just trades everything for Harden?
I don't think that I like Harden with Giannis. I mean, obviously they could make it work somehow, but it's in that situation, it sort of feels to me like Giannis would become a taller Westbrook and, obviously all defense, but it still doesn't seem like a great fit, but obviously those two guys together would win so many fucking basketball games.
It would be so fun to watch the two-man game of those two guys play. Cause it's just how do you stop a pick and roll with those two guys?
Dude, also, can I say something about the Knicks? This is why you don't fucking trade Kristaps. This is why you don't trade Kristaps. Yes. If he was still a Knick right now, you could legitimately think about we just need a second star.
Yep.
Also, shit, I said it before, unicorn for Embiid. I think that makes sense for both teams.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
But Houston, we still have to come back to the fact that they don't have a big. You just can't expect PJ Tucker to take the the shit kicking. Because all of the bigs now, even though we've transitioned to quote unquote small ball, it's still seven fucking footers out there. It's just that they're now athletes. They're running all over the place. They can shoot from outside.
I mean, we talked about this on the last week's podcast where it's the quote unquote small ball that the Warriors are renowned for included 7 foot tall Kevin Durant and the three of the five best shooters in the NBA at the time. So,
and before that, tall ass wing and that gigantic white dude from Australia whose name I forget,
Andrew Bogart.
Yeah, Bogut. Yeah, Bogut. Absolutely. Bogart for sure, who was awesome. Yeah,
he was great during when that was the thing. Yeah, so
also all time defenders, Clay and Dre are all time defenders.
We talked about this. Big Ball is back. Just look at this finals and tell me Big Ball isn't back.
Right. That's the other thing. If you're Harden, And Westbrook, are you really convinced that your roster construction was a good idea? Like, yeah, it opened lanes, but like, what the fuck? I mean, you can't expect the Houston Rockets to beat a team with Anthony Davis if, unless their shots are just at 100%. Like, this is the team that missed 27 threes. You know, they always go on at least one or two cold spells in the playoffs because that's how the math works. Daryl right. Morey said that if you think you have a 5% chance to win the championship, you should go all in. That's how that team plays. They either do what they do well to near perfect, or they fucking fail. And
yep.
Like, that's sort of a true way to think about basketball. Layups, threes, you know, free throws. Like, those are the most efficient ways to create offense right now. But the most effective shot is still a tall-ass motherfucker putting it through the hoop. Like, standing there, jumping up, and banging it home. That is still the best shot. But, like, Rudy Gobert is going to be a free, you know, nobody wants it. Yeah, he's a defensive player of the year. You can't play him in the playoffs. Like, the Rockets could go get a big, but that big won't help them in the playoffs if it's not the right kind of big.
Right.
Like, maybe, like, would, if they, if, I don't think the money can work, but like, if Vucevic was somehow traded to the Rockets, like for Eric Gordon, maybe, would you like that team's chances?
I mean, he certainly brings you
shoot threes.
Yeah. I mean, he brings to you what you need. I agree with you. It's just that they need that. To me, seems like the, whomever is going to be the GM of the Rockets, that is the number one thing they need to address, is you need to find a big to put on this roster who can play with whatever stars you're keeping, which I think is everyone. And so I think it's going to be a bargain big, which not exactly what you want. That being said,
but maybe bargain big means like Miles Turner. Maybe bargain big means
that's not a bad
like one. Cantor again. Like, there are a bunch of centers that don't get paid very well out right. there because the league has gone the other way. And we've seen, I mean, this is funny. Cantor is effective in the playoffs. He's actually kind of like the big you want to have come off the bench because the offense and the offensive rebounds.
Yep. God, man, watching him get boards for the Celtics brought so much joy to my heart.
He's been a fun player to watch. He's also still really young. I think he's maybe 26. I mean, really young. But he's better than he gets credit for. Like, I think on the right team, he could really, really shine.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. He's reliable enough that, yeah, when he comes off the bench, like, he can give you that inside presence on offense. Whereas, so, like, other names that I'm looking at that, like, I feel like,
like, the Kings are out there. You could trade who knows what to them.
Who was I just looking at? Like, oh, like, Montrezl Harrell is a super sure. big energy guy who, yeah, could do work, has shown that he can be great off the bench for the Clippers. But is that...
Dude, isn't that just having Clint Capella again?
Right, exactly, exactly. And I think you need... if they're going to get... Unless this... you know, iteration just realizes that trading Clint Capella was a terrible idea, which was it that good of an idea? Okay. All right. Not bargain bin. What about Aaron Baines?
Sure.
How does my boy
undervalued. Baines, yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Undervalued. Shoot. Can shoot
Christian
that
Christian Wood. Like,
yep. I feel like that's where the Rockets are going to go, is getting a big who you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I could see that working. And then either that big is going to work or it's going to crash and fail, and the Rockets are going to be like, well, shit, we're going to have to blow things up.
Like, I think the Rockets will probably be involved in three team trades if they're going to be involved in trades, just because that makes, you know, like, I think there's a world where they make another trade with the Thunder, but it's like for one of their plethora of picks. And it's like, sure, okay, Eric Gordon will go to this other team. The Thunder will get a pick from it, blah, blah, blah. You know, right, that like somehow it would involve Chris Paul and maybe Steven Adams. But there's still a core of really dangerous basketball on this Houston Rockets team. Like, I think when you have Harden and you have Bob Covington, that's a really good start.
Yes.
That's good perimeter play both ways. So is it impossible? Like, you have, and you know, Westbrook is still better than 95% of the league, and Eric Gordon's contract makes him look worse than he is. He's still a really good player. And PJ Tucker's a really good player. They're all over 30.
Yep.
They don't have any depth at all. They still don't have a coach. And their GM just left. So
I do think that should be your first
step no picks.
As GM. Just I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but hiring a coach might be a good idea before making kind of a franchise-altering moves.
So if Chauncey Billups was still available, he took an assistant. I would have been on the phone like, please, please, anything, come here.
I like that.
I would also be like, hey, Sam Cassell, what's up? What's going on? There are a lot of alumni from Houston through the league. Like, we should remember, Houston has won more games than almost anybody over the past 10 years. And they are one of the most successful franchises. Like, they've won. Not all of the teams in the league can say that, you know?
Uh-huh.
Flags fly forever. They have had multiple MVPs. It's a team that does have history, and I do think that people want to play there. It's just, damn, man, when you have two $40 million fucking dollar contracts.
Yeah.
And the Lakers are about to have this with AD re-signing.
Yep.
But the difference is they knew that before they knew that was going to happen when they forced the AD trade. So it's like, so they already have the scrubs there. But Houston, yeah,
also the difference is that you're locking up Anthony Davis at 27 years old.
Yes.
And totally. That's your future. Like,
also, they're not scrubs. Rondo is not a scrub.
Also, they won a championship. So,
yes.
I know you said it in passing, but I want to come back around to it because really I want Miles Turner to be a thing because I like Miles Turner.
Sure, ditto.
But yeah. I do feel like that is the kind of, either you're going to go after a veteran guy like Aaron Baines, and I've also totally talked myself into Aaron Baines on the Rockets. Feels perfect. I'm here for it. Because I also think that he's also just like a crazy, insane person who would get along with Westbrook. I feel like Westbrook and Baines, I know Baines is also Kiwi, so is Steven Adams. And so I do think that I feel like he could just be Russ Westbrook's Steven Adams in Houston. Anyways, but or it's trading for, you know, a younger center who hasn't quite done what people were expecting. And Miles Turner totally fits that mold. I can't say I watched a ton of the Pacers, but looking at raw numbers, like, yes, his offensive efficiency wasn't as great, but like, you know, he's a year away from shooting almost 40% from three and almost 50% from the field. And
we spent the entire offseason last time being like, well, they have to trade one of them. You know, like, we didn't even think one of them was going to be there.
We didn't think Turner and Sabonis could play together.
Yeah. There's a name we haven't mentioned yet, and that name is Kevin Love.
Oh.
The Cleveland Cavaliers. Because we just need to
put more max out contracts on this roster.
No. I was thinking the other way. The Cavs have a lot of young guards. Maybe you don't need all of them. Maybe you say, you know, here's, like, Andre Drummond is going to use his player option, obviously.
Obviously.
And so he will be there. They also have Tristan Thompson. They also have what's-his-face Junior. Like, they have a lot of front court players. They still only have one wing. But Tristan
Thompson is an unrestricted free agent.
I thought they re-signed him.
Did they? I'm looking at Spot Track right now.
So long ago. Okay.
And it says he's unrestricted, but they have the bird rights. I don't know.
Oh, so maybe they haven't been able to re-sign him because there's a moratorium on free agency.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, but continue.
Whatever. Kevin Love and Harden, I think, is a team that gets you to the playoffs in the East, yeah, or Kevin Love and Westbrook.
I mean, and, they played together at UCLA.
Right, so that would be cool too. Cleveland would accelerate back to being a playoff team, even if it only lasted for 1 or 2 years. But it's like, has Sexland in Cleveland really like wowed anybody?
You're totally right that the backcourt that they have right now is just, I don't know how all of those guards mesh together.
Dude, and so like, I do think that Cleveland could be drafting poorly. They drafted Kyrie and LeBron, but like that's, they've had a lot of fucking bad misses.
And this would be a great way to get out from under this like kind of weird guard, you know, quandary that they're in.
Dude, and I almost like if Cleveland called up Houston and said, listen, do you want Drum and we'll take Russ and like we'll figure out the other pieces for, and you know, we'll figure it out. Like we're not going to win the title, says Cleveland, but you guys might. And if you have Harden and some wiggle room, maybe you can, you know, finagle some other trades. Meanwhile, Cleveland, you know, gets to be something that other than just absolute trash and butt. I still think Chidi Osmond is their only fucking three, which really just bothers me to no end.
It's hilarious. I love it.
Like, at a time when all you fucking need are goddamn small forwards that are, you know, the size of power forwards, and they just don't even have one of them. But, you know, speaking of Midwest teams, like Oladipo might want out.
Yeah.
The Bulls, I think they have players that they can move. Otto Porter is going to make $28 million next season. You can move him if you want to. You can move the dentist. I don't know, is Lauri Markkanen the unicorn, or is he the B-plus unicorn? Is he the C-plus unicorn?
Well, and the thing is also, do you have the patience to wait and see? Because it's taken him a bit of time, you know? Like, he could emerge as the B-plus unicorn, but maybe it takes 2 to 3 more years, and does Chicago want to sit around and kind of wait until Markkanen is that player?
And maybe that fucks with Wendell Carter Jr.'s development.
Sure.
Like, if you're Chicago, do you think that the dentist, Harden, and Wendell Carter is a good core? Like, that gets you to the playoffs, obviously.
I like that. To start with. I mean, we love the dentist on this show, so anything.
Better outside shooting, but sort of the same, like, not too dissimilar from Westbrook's style of play. Like, drives through, but, you know, Chicago... Who's their coach again? Oh, they got a fucking Oklahoma City guy.
So
many white coaches have moved. It's really hard to fucking remember. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Billy Donovan.
There it is.
But that's a team that I could see. That's a team with history, just like Houston, that I could see like making a big move. If I'm Dallas, like if Houston called me and said Kristaps for Harden, I'd have to say yes, right?
If Dallas calls you and says Kristaps for Harden, you would say yes.
Like, I'd blow a line of coke first, but then I'd be like, yeah!
Man, you're going to be such a good GM.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Especially in Houston. Let's get some fucking raves going. Yeah.
You're going to lead this team to success.
Ecstasy capital. But that's the thing. It's when you start falling in love with these crazy trades, which, by the way, happen every single offseason over the past five years.
Yep.
But we, you know, money might be really important. So, like, a lot of crazy stuff could happen, or it could be super quiet because no one's really sure of the money. Not for nothing, but Portland's still out there. The Trailblazers. They are in their window right now. If they actually want to compete in the West, when Golden State comes back, when LA, both LA teams are what they are, they might have to make a really big fucking move. They have some front court pieces. Maybe, like, I don't think that they could make the money work, but.
I'm just trying to think of names. Like, could you do CJ and.
But if you're trading CJ, like, does that actually really elevate? I mean, if you get Harden back, then yes.
Right.
But,
that's what I'm trying to think. I wanted to pair Harden and Lillard together. But like, but CJ and I don't know who am I thinking of? The guy who's
Carmelo.
Injured. God no. Guy who was injured who came back.
Oh, Jurkic.
Jurkic. Nurkic. Dirkic. Flurkic. Kasmurkic. That guy.
Tall white dude. Yeah, totally. Yes. Who's good?
Is really like, well, that's, I mean, yeah. And but that also, he also feels like another big, like, it's, you, Houston needs a young, multi-talented big. That is what they need. And I think that they need to get that however possible.
Dude, and I sort of feel like that's Ben Simmons, isn't it? Like, that's somehow, because then you have, whether you keep Westbrook or Harden, you now have two ball handlers on the court. Like, if it's Westbrook and Simmons, neither of them can shoot threes. But I still feel like they, like, Simmons' height, just like Magic Johnson's, like, it changes everything because you're passing over smaller people, you know? That's like,
and I feel like Simmons Harden makes a ton of sense. Simmons Westbrook terrifies me.
But Simmons, his defense can make up for a lot of deficiencies from the other player on the other end.
Which is why he makes perfect sense with Harden.
You know, like, weird stuff like John Wall for Westbrook. Does that really move the needle? Did I like any of the guys on Atlanta in a trade? Like, John Collins in Houston, I think, would be good. Uh-huh. But also, like, kind of Clint Capella.
No, I agree.
Do you move the needle with a team that has two dudes that are this good already?
Right. And I think it's getting, it's either getting someone who gives you, like, in order to improve the Rockets, it's either you're going to get a guy, a big, since that's the position you have none of right now, who does his role well and does specifically what you need that role to do well, a Aaron Baines, a Miles Turner, a Enes Kanter, like that kind of big. Or it is like trying to hit the fences and trading for a, you know, top 25 talent at a position and having that pair, basically changing up who your superstars are.
Yeah. But meanwhile, if you do that, you still have no depth. You're just trying to get ring chasers that didn't get signed by the Lakers or Golden State.
Right. Which is why I think ultimately, if I reach through the computer right now, I grab that GM cap of yours and I pop it on my head.
I would have handed it to you, buddy.
I'm going to take it.
That's okay. No, very aggressive, Boston. All right.
Thank you.
Leave your car in the parking lot. Yeah.
This is how you win games. I would run it back one more year with having bigs who can space the floor,
how do you do that? Like, who, I mean,
well, we listed a bunch
Eric
of
Eric Gordon.
Eric Gordon spacing the floor for me as a big?
You trade Eric Gordon to get that guy. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I guess that's what you do.
But I think that's fine. Like, Eric Gordon should not be the guy that stands in between you and a ring. So fuck yes. Right. If you, Pete, as GM, are like, yeah, we could use some fucking height because PJ is a little tired and a little black and blue. But if you can keep PJ and just get another big and you can cobble shit together after losing Eric Gordon, who also, like, doesn't play for you every single game. He's been hurt too. That is probably the best you can hope for. And maybe that's enough.
Right. And I can save PJ Tucker so that I can still do my, you know, crazy psycho small ball when I want to. And, you know, PJ Tucker, you go Bob Covington, you go Westbrook, you go Harden, and you go, I don't know, Austin Rivers or Daniel House or, I don't know, one of those guys.
Wait, can I do a fringe dude suggestion or wild?
Yeah, hit me.
So let's say they didn't do
here. Anything, I'm giving you. Right? I'm giving you the GM cap back.
No, no, no. You keep it because I'm. Okay, I'm sorry. Just some drunk dude, a drunk Houston fan on the street.
You are on
and
a
I saw
lot of
you.
Coke right now.
Oh man, so many rails. I'm a train. Just get out of the way. It's just wild white horses over here.
Okay.
Dwight Howard.
That's what I was
contract.
Oh my god. Oh
you
my
cooked
god.
Up fiend.
Can we
oh
can we
man.
Just
get
imagine
that real
a world,
Colombian.
Can we imagine a world where Dwight Howard wins a championship with the Lakers and then signs with the Rockets and wins another championship?
Dude, he's just on a rerun tour. Like it's great. Like he
and
should
it's
go
fucking
to all
working.
Of the teams that
he
yeah,
should
totally.
Keep doing this.
Right.
He should then
now he
go back to the Magic
touches.
At the end of this and fucking win a championship.
Totally. I completely agree. Because, like, the Lakers, there's a lot of questions for them in the offseason, too. You know, like, who in their front court is coming back? Is JaVale coming back? He barely played. Is Dwight,
right.
I mean, Dwight hit that three, but, like, come on. All of a sudden, there could be a bunch of ring chasers who just got a ring that might want to, like, see what's up. I think you can add... you know, the Raptors front court to that big Spain Serge, like you said.
Yep.
Dwight back with Harden. Like we thought that Dwight back with LA wouldn't work, but
Dwight, and that's the thing in like we said with Harden where you were worried about would Harden accept that new role in, if he went to Denver, if that Magic trade would have went down, like Dwight has hit that spot. Dwight has recognized here's what my new role is, and I'm okay with that, and I'm going to rock that. And maybe that works in Houston. Who the fuck knows? But we're
can
here.
Can I do one more crazy name that could maybe be a ring chaser?
Wrap it up, Natty, with another just pure insanity.
Okay, well, you're still the GM, so I'm wondering if maybe you've thought of this also. It's one of our boyfriends, a guy that we talk about a lot, and we haven't mentioned him yet tonight. And he's a free agent.
Okay.
Danilo Cincinnatus Gallinari.
Mm.
He's going to be available. And an outside big. Like, he's not a defender in the front court, but that's a dude that can space the court for you. Maybe, like he'll probably want a gigantic contract, but maybe he wants a ring instead. Maybe he's willing to do like a cheaper sign and trade, and all of a sudden Houston has some wiggle room because they're like, oh shit, well, we literally can't do anything else. That's a guy that hasn't really been talked about enough, I don't think. Like everyone keeps talking about Chris Paul trades for the Thunder, and no one else on the team seems to really matter that much. Like Steven Adams could be gone. Like everyone on that team except for SGA could be gone.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun? They have a billion first round picks because of it.
So that's actually not my last one. This will be my last one. Sorry. Sorry. Well, you have the hat on now.
I do. I do.
Okay. I'm the Miami GM.
Okay.
You call me.
Okay.
What do you say to me?
I say, I will give you Russell Westbrook, Eric Gordon, every first round pick I have.
You don't have any.
And
you can trade anyway.
And the best Coke I have for Bam Adebayo. But actually what I do like is I do like Dragic.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
I like Goran Dragic because it gives the ball handler that can take the ball then out of the hands of it doesn't need to be out of the hands of Westbrook or Harden, but it gives another ball handler. And it also just then frees up Harden to be like, start running off of screens and getting the ball, like moving without the ball, which I think could be the thing that he needs to add to his game to really kind of take that next step. Like imagine him doing the Steph Clay thing where you're just sprinting around the court and then coming off of the screen and just jacking up a three. And you're like, how do I stop this?
Like, I do sort of feel like Dragic might be gone, I feel like Miami would do better having someone like Buddy Hield than Westbrook, but because if it's Westbrook and Jimmy, then all of a sudden you have the same old problem. It's like, oh shit, we don't have enough shooting.
But you got Hero and you got Duncan Robinson, and
sure,
you can improve on that. But I hear what you're saying. Yes, you do have a similar issue, but you also then have like the two most tenacious bulldogs.
Yeah.
In your backcourt, who will just like run full tilt into whatever big you've got in the paint and foul them out.
And like there's just no telling in the East. I kind of feel like even the good teams that I'm sure will make the playoffs, like the top four seeds, I still don't think that any one of them is like tremendously better than any of the other ones. Like if Milwaukee makes a real move, they should be a world killer. On the other hand, we sort of saw them just get their fucking asses kicked. So,
well, on the other hand, they had a real move, and that was keep Malcolm Brogdon, and they were like, nah, pass. Yeah. So, like, I mean, who's to, like, trust them to, like, go out and be aggressive right now?
And it's like, you know, Chris Middleton is a good player, but it's not like you could offer Middleton for Harden as a straight up, you know, like, Middleton is
that's not
here below, you know, the players we've been talking about. So is Tobias Harris, even though I love him. You know, like you'd have to get to the talent level of someone like, I think, De'Aaron Fox or Ja Morant to really try to convince Houston to give someone up for real youth. And like, why the fuck would you give up those dudes?
Yeah.
But like, is there anyone on Phoenix? Like, would Phoenix give up DeAndre Ayton for Harden?
Yeah, I would.
And Phoenix just says, yo, like, we can find a fucking center. Like, we're. Yeah.
We'll re-sign Baines. He was fucking incredible for them.
Sure. There you go. Totally. So, but it's weird because I feel like almost every other team except Houston has that kind of wiggle room. Like where they could make a trade and they wouldn't get better. And well, I don't know that that's possible for Houston. I really don't. It sort of feels like they get worse no matter what, unless you get some out of the blue craziness.
Which you're not. And I think the key with Houston is going to be if they make a big trade, it's going to be the, we are expanding our window rather than like focusing our window, right? It's the trade to be like, yes, we might not be contending in 2021, but now we think that we can contend for the next 6 years as opposed to the next 3 years.
Sure.
So anyways,
and maybe that's the responsible thing to do, by the way.
Maybe.
Like maybe that's the GM correct hat on thing and I to think do.
It sounds like a pretty good idea to me.
Because the West, Steph and Clay, Golden State will be back. Phoenix will be better. Both LA teams will be there.
Yeah.
Denver will be there.
It might not be a
Dallas
bad idea.
Dallas will be there.
It's
Portland, Utah. I mean, Minnesota. Like, there's.
Basically, what we've come to in conclusion, I am now taking off my GM cap and I'm putting on my James Harden cap. I am getting my ass to the Knicks at all costs.
I agree. I'm getting out of Houston.
Fucking ride. Make sure you subscribe to the Fake Teams podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. That's how you'll not only get us, but also our fantasy basketball. That's us. Fantasy baseball and fantasy football podcasts. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at the Long Two Podcast. We will be back at you next week. Natty, until then, stay safe and healthy, my friend.
You do the same. Enjoy the World Series, buddy. See you next week.
I will try not to cry my eyes out every time Mookie Betts makes a good play.
No, just do it out of pure joy. What an incredible job.